You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Together. Well, as promised, I had told you that I'm going to start each Sunday in the month of January sharing a little bit more information about what God's place on our hearts and how we're going to move forward with utilizing this building that was miraculously donated to our church just outside those doors and across the green space that's covered in snow right now to 1213 Riverside. And I want to share more about that story. If you missed last week, I would really encourage you to listen to the message from last Sunday, because the first 10 minutes, I really retell the story of how that building was donated to us in the first place, how God began that miracle, and how we're going to continue to seek more miracles as we step forward into stewarding that building for the kingdom of God. You know, it's going to take a fair amount of work to renovate that space, and it's going to cost a bit to fix it up, but it was donated to us for free. And so we're starting with like a $1 million asset in our favor, and we're building from there. Last week, I shared more about that story and how we no longer have to call it the old donated building or the weird thing out there we don't know what we're going to do with, or the old kidney center. Now we can call it by its new name, the name that we feel like God gave us, called the Love Foco Resource Center. And through, yeah, we can cheer that. That's good. Through the Love Foco Resource Center, we're going to be serving up to 1,500 families a month through reaching basic needs and providing resources, of course, sharing our faith and inviting individuals and families that we engage with into a lifelong and empowering discipleship relationship. But if you just look around the room, and even if you imagine like 500 people at the online service, you realize that even our church doesn't currently serve 1,500 people a month. We're not that size of a church. So how on earth are we going to serve 1,500 families a month in that new building? I mean, that's a lot of people. And so today I want to spend a little time talking about the strategies and the ministries that are going to help us along the way. Over the course of the last 6 months, I've been meeting with Christian nonprofits from around the city who have a similar heart to ours here at the Vineyard, a heart to serve and to care for the under-resourced in our community. And after a few conversations with these nonprofit leaders, it became glaringly clear that left to ourselves, we might be able to serve 100 or 200 families on our own. But if we somehow could unite our ministries together, if we could join together as we follow God with one another, then our impact, our potential to impact, will grow dynamically. And so I want to tell you at least about a few organizations this morning that we're partnering with, and I think the list is going to slowly grow, but I want to start with these three because you might recognize them. We actually already have ministry partnerships with the three that are up on this next slide. You'll see Serve 68, Christ Clinic, and that other logo is for Alpha Pregnancy Center. I want to talk about how they're coming alongside the Vineyard Church and the Love Foco Resource Center to help serve 1,500 families a month. Let's talk about Serve 68 first. You might recognize Serve 68. They're the organization that has the Adopt-A-Tree all over Northern Colorado around Christmas time. Of course, we already partner with them through our Thanksgiving and Christmas outreach. And through conversations with Serve 68, they have agreed to stock our shelves and to provide a clothing store for us every single week. They'll back up a truck to the Love Foco Resource Center and unload their inventory into our space so that we can give it away as freely as we've received it. And that's good for a lot of different reasons. One of them is that means I'll never have to stand in front of you and ask for more cans of green beans and peanut butter, because Serve 68 is going to deliver the truck, right? But they're also going to train us in inventory. They're going to train us in how to really care for the families that we engage with, how we can engage with a long-term discipleship relationship with them, and how we can make sure that there's investment on both sides of that relationship. Incredibly excited about what Serve 68 has agreed to do. You might know that they recently moved down to Loveland because they got access to a much larger facility. But when they moved further south, it kind of created a vacancy in North Fort Collins, an area where there's quite a bit of need. And so now they're allowing the Love Foco Resource Center to be their northernmost distribution center. They're going to basically use all of their services in and through our space And Vineyard Church, we get to be the volunteers to help be the hands and feet of Jesus as we reach our community. I also want to talk about Christ Clinic. Christ Clinic right now uses our space on an occasional Saturday. They set up and tear down our kids' wing so that they can provide free health care to anyone who needs to see a doctor or a nurse or need to be provided health care for whatever situation they're in. And they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job, but it is set up, tear down, set up, tear down, set up, tear down over and over and over again. And it's a real medical clinic, which means they have real medical records. So then they take those records, they put them in a folder, they lock their car doors, they drive home and they put them in a personal filing cabinet behind locked doors. And the ability to have follow-up appointments and to help fill prescription drugs, all of those things begin to go down because they don't have a regular and consistent space they can count on. But now with the Love Focal Resource Center, as we dedicate space for their free healthcare clinic, the expansion of their ministry is going to grow tenfold or more. Not only just because of operational hours, but because there's going to be a brick and mortar place where people can count on to go to have follow-up care with doctors, physicians, nurses, PAs, the whole bit. They're going to be able to have walk-ins. And over 65% of the people that they see are also food insecure. So as you see a doctor with Christ Clinic, you'll also be able to get groceries for a week to really care for your family. So there's going to be all kinds of cross-pollination and ministry happening all under one roof just outside of those doors. And then on top of that, Alpha Pregnancy Center, they're also on the list. I'm excited to announce that they'll be opening a baby boutique in our space for moms and dads who are expecting. On Tuesday nights, they're going to offer parenting classes and prenatal classes for families, because one of the things I've always loved about Alpha Pregnancy Center is they're not just pro-birth, but they're pro-life. They want to walk with families for the longevity of them raising those kids, and it's going to be really, really special to be a part of that as well. Of course, all of these nonprofits are outside of our church, but we have all kinds of things happening inside of our church as well. We have families ready to teach ESL or English as a second language. We have a car care ministry that's been thriving longer than I've been here at this church. And we have recovery groups that will continue to offer their services, and on and on and on we go. If you can kind of imagine the Love Focal Resource Center then being almost like a nonprofit hub where underneath our umbrella, so many other ministries and programs can come and find a home. And through our local church, we'll be able to provide a comprehensive and holistic care package to families and individuals in need. It's not a perfect comparison because they're much larger in scale, but if you think about what Convoy does when they enter into a nation across the world and they offer all of these different services while making the local church famous, that's what we're going to try to do, except at a smaller scale and with people that you see about your day as you go about your day and your work week. They're going to be folks from our community. In our backyard, part of our local church and beyond. Just imagine kind of what it would be like on a Saturday morning, perhaps, with all these ministries taking place. And Mr. and Mrs. Smith, with their couple of kids kind of in tow in the back seat, they drive to the Love Focal Resource Center. And through a prearranged meeting with our car care ministry, they're able to drop their car off for maintenance and minor repairs. And while their car's being worked on, they can go in and see a doctor. And their kids can see a doctor. After they see a physician, they can walk down the hallway. They can sign up for Celebrate Recovery if that's a service they want to participate in. They could be invited to our Easter services or our summer VBS or cross-training sports camp. After that, they could walk down the hallway, get groceries for a week, get clothing for their new kids that are growing out of their old clothes. They could go to the baby boutique and get diapers and wet wipes for an expecting child. And all while this is all happening, their car is being fixed, and they could walk out, hop back into their car, and drive home. And cars and transportation, this is like of utmost importance for families who are under-resourced so that they can continue to thrive. Now you're talking about X amount of dollars that they've saved that they can put towards maybe first month's rent or catching up on utility bills, a variety of different services that now we're empowering them to participate in. You're talking about coming alongside of families and helping them break the cycle's generational poverty so that they can thrive in and around our community. We're talking about life change, transformation. And it's gonna be a journey to get there. This is like future Saturdays, because I said we still have to renovate the building and we're going to need to follow a whole bunch of miracles to raise the funds to do that. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But if you think about having this comprehensive plan where anybody can come to the Love Focal Resource Center and be served in the name of Jesus, the fruit of that is us truly joining God's mission of transforming all things, one individual, one family at a time. It will be a building that has become the best friend for our city, the Love Focal Resource Center. Again, I want to invite you to Vision Night on Wednesday night, January 24th. Wednesday night, January 24th, we have childcare available. This is a really important night for our church. All the info is at votrweekly.org, and it would mean a ton to our staff if you could come to that evening, because we'll talk about all the key objectives for the upcoming year, but we'll talk a lot about this particular space and how you can be involved through sacrificial giving, through volunteering, and through advocating and helping us get the word out about what's going to be happening in this space. Next week, I'm going to share a lot more about the team, the greater team that's going to make this happen, that has been making this happen, because it's not just a Jeff Faust show. Thank God I don't have to have all these pieces in my head, because it wouldn't happen without the team that God is sending around this church. We'll talk more about that. But I'd like to pray, again, not only for God's blessing to continue to be poured out on that space, but I'm planning on preaching this morning from the Bible, and so we want to ask God's blessing on that time as well. Won't you join me in prayer? And the snowplows are just going to come. You're just going to hear those from time to time as well. Let's pray. God, thank you for your presence among us. And we turn our minds and our hearts and even our bodies in anticipation of your voice this morning. Would you speak to us through your living and active word? And we ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to pour out your blessing on the Love Focal Resource Center. Would you send more teams and more volunteers? Would you prepare our hearts to give and give generously? God, would you prepare a way for that space to be renovated so that we can open this building and join you in the transformation of all things, one family at a time? We look forward to watching your miracles and promises unfold before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there is obviously a lot more to share, and I always approach that first announcement slot over this building with a ton of excitement, and I'll be continuing to share more and more in the future. But this month, as we now turn our minds and our hearts to the Word of God, I want to remind you, we're in a series all January called Unsung Heroes, where we're looking at the scriptures, particularly in relationship to people who are hardly ever talked about in the Bible, but they still had a really influential and meaningful impact on the kingdom of God. And these unsung heroes, they can inspire us, because many of us can resonate. We all know people who are overlooked and underappreciated. And if we're honest with ourselves this morning, sometimes we're the ones that overlook and underappreciate people. There's no way that we can know everything about every single person in every single moment. Only God can do that. We sometimes ourselves even overlook those who are doing great things around us. And then, of course, as we have a moment of even self-reflection, many of us resonate with the fact of being overlooked because we are living a life that feels overlooked at this very moment, or at least we have at some point before. We can resonate with these unsung heroes. And of course, it's NFL playoff time. You know, they started yesterday, so I can't help but think about NFL and the playoffs and football at least a little bit. And when it comes to playoff football and unsung heroes and how they overlap, we have to start by talking about, quote, Mr. Irrelevant. Right? If you've never heard about Mr. Irrelevant, it's the last player picked in the NFL draft. Something like 243 NFL players are picked before this guy at dead last in the NFL draft. Like, some of you are remembering middle school PE right now. It's like, that was my life for years and I hated it. This is Mr. Irrelevant. It happens in the NFL too, right? And what's interesting is that Mr. Irrelevant from a year ago is now leading the San Francisco 49ers into the playoffs and a team that many think is going to compete for the Super Bowl. This guy by the name of Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. And he went to Iowa State, which is maybe the most irrelevant school in all of college football as well. I'm an Iowa Hawkeye fan, so we don't really like the Cyclones that much. But he's considered now one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Overlooked by everybody. Overlooked by every team. Hundreds of picks before him. And he wondered if he was probably even going to make the team when he was first drafted. And now he's getting a chance to lead his team, maybe to be number one. And if you think about how complex this is, I mean, just remember, the NFL is a $150 billion, with a B, billion-dollar market. Teams spend millions and millions of dollars every single year on things like scouting, player personnel, combines, training, and trying to discover the very best players that they could pick. And this guy was dead last. Dead last. Unsung for years, and now ready to be number one. We kind of resonate with a story like that because it's kind of at least a little bit what we all feel like. We wonder often if anyone is noticing. We wonder if the small and often overlooked moments of obedience or moments of following Christ matter and mean anything at all. But of course, in the kingdom of God, anything that is done in and through Jesus Christ counts. Every small act of obedience is treasured in the kingdom of God. Today's unsung hero was overlooked by many. He sometimes shows up around Easter time, but is talked about only in one or two sentences. His story is told in three Gospels, but only in one verse. And to our knowledge, he never started a ministry. No spiritual revival ever came about by this man. No spiritual awakening ever took place. And you never hear about him again in all of the Bible. But his moment and his intersection with Jesus Christ lives on for eternity. At first, it can seem like his part of the story doesn't matter, that he was only on the sidelines, called in for a moment, but his story can still impact us today. Our unsung hero for this morning is a man by the name of Simon the Cyrene. Simon was the guy who was forced to carry the cross of Jesus when he was too exhausted, too beat up, too bloody to carry it himself. And it was in that moment that the Romans forced Simon the Cyrene to help. Cyrene, if you're wondering, is found in modern-day Libya in Africa. And I just want to say it's not by accident that our unsung hero today, the day before Martin Luther King Jr. Day, is a person of color. This is by design. Simon was a person of color, and during the crucifixion, he was actually visiting as a foreigner. And last week, we talked about a woman as our unsung hero. And so if you haven't noticed, we've picked a few demographics that are largely overlooked for hundreds of years. And these are our unsung heroes in the Bible, because in the kingdom of God, Jesus commonly empowers the powerless. He elevates those who have been made low, and he weaves them into the very fabric and the story of God for generations and generations to come. You know, I always try to recommend books that have influenced me and influenced my theology and my spiritual leadership. And I have one that I want to recommend around this category. It's titled Reading While Black. I put a link to it in my sermon notes, and I would recommend it. It's a great book. Author Esau McCauley, who's a professor at Wheaton, does a great job of theologically explaining how black theologians and the historic black church approach the story of God and find themselves in the narrative of Jesus Christ. How our gospel today is good news for every tribe and every nation. Simon the Cyrene, he's one of those guys, and if we'll pay attention to his life and how he interacts with Jesus, we can all be inspired by his story this morning. Look at Mark 15, verses 21 to 25. This is where Simon shows up in Scripture. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus, And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. They offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but Jesus refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. Simon, it says, he started just as a passerby. And this morning, whether you're here in person or maybe you're tuning in online, you might find yourself in a similar place, just passing by Jesus, passing by the church, passing by online or in life as you think about religion and your spirituality. But eventually, Simon was woven into the very story of Jesus, woven into his very life and death. And I want to invite you into the same thing this morning. If you've never given your life to Christ, if you're with us this morning, either here in person or online, and you've only ever been a passerby, you've only ever been an observer when it comes to Jesus, later in our service, I'm going to invite you to give your life to Christ today, to receive his forgiveness and freedom, his healing and salvation, because Jesus wants you in his story. He died to offer you a new heart and a new life. He died to give you this forever, and all of it can start today. While you think and you pray about that, let's zero in on Simon the Cyrene together. Let's ask some questions about his life and what we can be inspired from or how he can teach us about our own story with God this morning. Simon's story, I had mentioned that it's talked about in a couple different gospels, three to be exact, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but only one verse each time. And although he's mentioned in the three different gospels, I read from Mark this morning because he includes a really interesting note for us. He includes Simon's children. Look at verse 21 again. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Now, Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And most theologians and commentaries, they're all in agreement. Mark included these names because when you read Mark's gospel for the first time, Alexander and Rufus were still alive and you could go talk to them. You could go talk to Alexander and Rufus and hear the story for yourself. Even if their father Simon had passed away, you could still talk to his boys and you could still hear the story and this moment in history. Even more, if you look at the book of Romans chapter 16, it's very likely that the same Rufus mentioned in Mark 15 is mentioned in Romans 16. We know this because Mark wrote his gospel according to Peter in Rome, and Paul wrote his letter to that same church. They were all in the same community. Look at Romans 16, 13. Greet Rufus, Paul writes, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Many agree that Simon probably isn't mentioned because at this time he had already passed. But imagine being in a small group with this family. Right? Imagine the church services with this family involved. Imagine the guest speaker, if it could be Rufus. Rufus knew this story to a T. He had heard his dad tell him time and time again. Someone might ask, Rufus, well, tell me your testimony. Rufus, how did you come to follow Jesus? And Rufus could say, well, my dad carried the cross of Christ. The very cross that weighed Jesus down as he was led to the place of the skull when Jesus was beat up and bloody and suffering for all of us. The same cross that put splinters into Jesus' back, put splinters into my dad's back. Let me tell you about Jesus. And Rufus would have retold the story just that way years ago. And today we can retell the story as well. We can retell the story of Rufus. We can retell the story of Simon. And ultimately, we can retell the story of Jesus Christ. As you look at this text, there's a lot that you could say. I want to emphasize two things this morning. First, it's that uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing your own cross. Uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing your own cross. The same splinters forced into the back of Jesus were forced into the back of Simon, and those same splinters could be placed in your back as well. And every time the story of Simon would have been told, it would have reminded the listener of other teachings of Jesus, specifically from Luke 9, the time when Jesus predicted his own death and suffering and called his disciples to follow him anyway. Look at Luke 9 when Jesus said this in verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things," Jesus said. "He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." Then he said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." You can't tell the story of Simon and him picking up the cross of Christ without also thinking about this passage and how they might overlap together. Simon lived it. Simon lived it. Rufus would have retold it, and we get to retell it again this morning. Uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing your cross daily, dying to your selfish ways, anything that has a grip on your heart, anything that keeps you from making godly decisions, anything that stands in a way of living a life of wholehearted devotion to the Lord. He's saying you must pick up your cross daily, die to your selfish ways, and follow me. Uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing the cross that sometimes might even feel painful, that sometimes might even feel a bit like suffering. But the promise is eternal life. The promise is freedom and healing. The promise is transformation that will reach its fulfillment in the age to come, but can begin right here and right now. Uniting yourself to Jesus means sometimes you embrace the cross that might feel a bit humiliating as well. You know, Simon would have been humiliated by this. The Romans crucified people to humiliate them, to pressure them, to conform them to their ways, to make an example out of you. And it was early in the morning. Jesus was crucified by 9. It means everybody was out and about their day, moving around the town of Jerusalem. And they would have linked Simon to this perceived criminal, Jesus Christ, even though he had never done anything wrong. They would have linked them together just because he was there, because he was carrying the cross of Christ. The same humiliation Jesus was exposed to, Simon would have experienced as well. And I don't know about you, but isn't it true that oftentimes when people find out you're a wholehearted follower of Jesus, they can look at you a little funny? They can wonder why you make certain decisions, why you decide to live in a certain kind of way. They might even mock you. They might even tease you. They might even begin to humiliate you in the same way that Jesus Christ was humiliated. And sometimes this is the journey. Sometimes this is part of bearing the cross of Christ. The first thing that we can learn from Simon is that uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing your own cross. The second one is similar but different enough that we need to talk about it, and it's that uniting yourself to Jesus means embracing someone else's cross. When you embrace your cross, it can be painful and sometimes humiliating, and it can mean death to your own selfish ways, but some of the most important crosses that you'll bear in your life belong to someone else. A spouse, a child, a parent, a friend, a stranger. Some of the most important crosses you will bear in your life belong to someone else. It's in their moment of pain and their moment of suffering or hardship or struggle that they will need your help to carry the weight of their cross. And you can't take that cross from them. It wouldn't be helpful, and it wouldn't be good to try, right? They're on a journey of following Jesus as well. They need to learn to pick up their own cross and follow him daily, just like you do. But at times, they're going to need your support. They're going to need your prayers. And they're going to need your help along the way. And here's something that we really have to think about. You don't always get the cross. You don't always get to pick the crosses that you're called to bear. You don't always get to pick those. God presents them to you in the moment. And then you have a decision to make. Am I going to lend down? Am I going to bend down and get even lower still and help bear the weight of someone else's cross? Am I going to bear witness? Am I going to lend whatever support I can, whatever strength I can to that person in need, or am I just going to walk on by? Am I going to distance myself and maybe even judge as I distance myself? Maybe even thank God that their problems aren't my problems. Or are you willing to link up with someone in need to demonstrate the love of Jesus in someone's moment of incredible pain? And I'm not talking about a codependent relationship where you carry their cross for a lifetime or empower someone's reliance on you. That's a different conversation for a different day. I'm talking about a selfless act of love when whatever strength you can muster, you offer to someone else. Have you ever thought that part of you bearing your cross is learning to bear someone else's? It's less than convenient. It is not convenient to reorient your life around someone else's pain and need. But it is the gospel. It's the kingdom of God at work. It's the salt and light that we're called to be. If you want to make a difference in the world, all you have to do is look around you. All you have to do is look around you. This is exactly what we're trying to do with the Love Focal Resource Center. I mean, there are people who are dragging their feet all over the place. There are people crying out for help all around you. There are people being crushed by the weight of what feels like an insurmountable pain. And they're looking to see if anyone will help them. Anyone in this life can come alongside of them and bear the weight, even just for a moment, so they can catch a breath and take a few more steps. When you lend your love and your power and your strength to someone in need, you are participating in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All month long, we've been looking at these unsung heroes. We're going to continue to do it in January, but I want to remind you that as we look for inspiration in these very pages from unsung heroes, the one thing they all have in common is they point us directly back to Jesus every time. They point us directly back to Jesus every time. The cross was an instrument of death. But in a paradox only found in the kingdom of God, it's through dying that you find life. It's through the death of Jesus Christ that you're promised resurrection. And it's through embracing the way of the cross that you experience the way of the King. So what do you need to let go of today? Does anything have a grip on your heart that you need to take to the cross, that you need to lay down at his feet, that you need to die to your own selfish ways? Or maybe there's someone in your life who needs your support that you've been ghosting or silently distancing yourself from, that God's inviting you to embrace. If we'll slow down enough to listen to what the Lord is saying, I trust that he will speak to us this morning. I trust that he will speak to you about areas of your heart that could be surrendered even more, about people in your life who might need your hand, or maybe a decision for Christ for the very first time. Let's pray together.